Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Couldn't beat Ed Rendell for governor, even with the Casey name. So he just wrote it into the Senate seat forever. And the media just never gets into it with this guy. He's the big architect. It's price gouging. What he did, Dan, was he took where these companies were in the middle of COVID. And then the profits that they made that he says is gouging, and that's where it comes from. Well, that's kind of an unfair barometer. They were getting killed at that point. The whole economy was due to COVID. Here's Jerome Powell, though, Bob Casey. Let's see if the media reports this and asked him a legitimate question, because he's in a tough fight here for the Senate, and that Senate seat could control the Senate. And if we control the Senate and House and the presidency, we're actually going to be able to get some things done. So what would Bob Casey Jr. say to the head of the Fed, who just testified there is no data to support that claim?
When you mentioned recalibrate policy yesterday in the Senate hearing, was part of your thinking taking a more holistic view of economic conditions?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Chairman, is there any data to support the so-called greedflation? This term greedflation somehow has caused inflation. Is there any data to support those comments?
So we look at it that inflation, this inflation has been caused by a combination of, you know, very strong demand and constrained supply. So it was really a high-speed collision between an economy that was reopening. And by the way, there was inflation all over the world at the same time. So these are some common factors. But at the same time, you had tremendous demand, for example, for automobiles. You had constrained supply because there weren't enough semiconductors, long story short. But, so that to us is what disinflation is all about. So we've observed, you know, the sort of healing of the supply side at the same time. Restrictive monetary policy is weighing on demand, and we've seen inflation coming down.
Right. So there's no data that supports that gouging of consumers is part of the inflation.
It's been very hard to track a connection with, earnings and things.
All right. So, but genius, Bob Casey Jr., the Casey name. How many people could be left here in Pennsylvania that look fondly back on the last good Democrat who wasn't allowed to speak of his stance on life at the Democrat convention in 1992? How many of them could be left out there? What the heck is wrong with these people in Scranton and those areas that they put this guy in there and he tells them, oh, yeah, it's corporate America, Snickers bars. And we're actually having a national debate. I wish they had probed. I know why I didn't probe Powell a little bit more there. He got what he wanted out of it. I would have gone back to all this demand and all that. How about all the reckless spending? What does that do? What does that crowd out? Private enterprise, when the government spends the trillions and trillions and trillions that Biden was throwing in there. That's what caused it. But not data to support the idea it's just gouging by corporate America. 855-839-1210. You'll get a line. All right. That's Jerome Powell. Now, here is Lawrence O'Donnell. Dan and I admire this guy, as you know, because he's willing to come on the show, particularly when we asked him about the hammering incident. Lawrence O'Donnell has a plan for the next debate.
Stop the hammering!
Here's what Lawrence O'Donnell would like. He wants Biden aides and Trump aides, if he has them, to be on stage with
him. The candidates to have as many staff as they want join them on the stage throughout the debate and make sure that all of them have microphones.
Oh, my God.
And the candidates should be allowed to turn to their staffs and confer with them about anything at any time in the debate. And we should be able to hear everything they say so we can hear if the candidate has competent or incompetent staff. We could hear the candidate overrule some advisors and say something else. We could watch the candidates actually think and process information, including possibly information that they might not know until a staff member tells them or reminds them. A candidate should be allowed to let staff members actually answer questions for them, just as the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, answers questions on behalf of the president around the world, as has every Secretary of State in history.
All right, guys, let's stop there, Dan. A nice try by Lawrence O'Donnell. What he's trying to do is deflect from this as if these were such policy-ridden. The American people don't want to hear from a president. Because Trump doesn't engage in that. They want the top line of the policy. How's this? No tax on tips. Next question. Deport. Yes, we are going to deport people. It's not the minutia. It's not all the Washington stuff. It's what the policy boils down to for the average person. Not all these wonks feeding up to Joe Biden. It's not about the Washington talk. It's about what the nut policy is. That's what people want. All right, 855-839-1210. That will get you on board. Ben Carson here at 1:30. We played you Don Trump Jr. talking about VP choices. And again, I could tell how hesitant Scott Presler was there, that it's true. Youngkin didn't get them over the finish line in 2023 elections in Virginia, but there were a tremendous amount of headwinds there. I think things are better now. Now, and these VP choices are not going to thrill anybody. If it's Burgum, I don't think we're going to have phone lines lit up for days afterward, right? Going, wow. I can remember, Dan, you know who people were excited for? It's hard to believe, given how things have turned out. When Mitt Romney chose Paul Ryan, there was a lot of excitement when we got him on a couple times. He talked about ice fishing even. I'm not making it up. How could I forget that, right? Boy, that went sour pretty quickly. Paul Ryan, of all people. So there will be somewhat of a burst. Now, if Trump chooses something out of the box that we haven't anticipated, yeah, then there's going to be a lot more. But I'd have to say, I think it's going to be J.D. Vance or Youngkin at this point. And I think you're starting to see some of the clues lining up around that. And I don't think we'll know to Monday or Tuesday, probably Monday, who it is and the rationale behind it. But the big story that's continuing is Biden. And Nancy Pelosi today claiming that on Morning Joe, she didn't do anything that would make people believe that she thinks Joe Biden ought to go. She absolutely did. She left it up to him, not a ringing endorsement. I see some of the problems. Every day that this goes on, as maddening as it is a good day. And I think it's going to go on, if he gets by tomorrow, for weeks. And I think they're stronger if it's Harris and Josh Shapiro. Not that we should be trembling that those two are definitive winners, but I think they have a stronger chance in the end. Biden is done. Keep him in there. You can't get past that debate. That's the bottom line. Particularly that line where Trump said, I don't know what he said, and I don't think he does either, about killing Medicare or fighting Medicare. It was shocking to people who weren't paying attention. To the rest of us, people that listen to talk radio, are like, yeah, that's what we've been telling forever. And it's not just that the media didn't report it. The media has been attacking people who are saying, just take a look at it. Take a look at what's in front of you.
There are 40% fewer people coming across the border illegally. That's better than when he left office. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look.
Yeah, absolutely. That was beautifully delivered by Trump. Now, Trump started to get wound up yesterday, Dan. Another rally. All right, I know he needs to do this stuff. But people are starting to say, you're in agreement now. It's not about the juice. It's not about all that. It's about one thing. They're killing each other at this point. And who knows what this could morph into with Hillary Clinton lurking there. Just stay out of the way. Spend time fundraising, getting your infrastructure right, turning out the vote, that type of stuff. Do not, 25th Amendment. Let's talk about that. I get the game why Republicans, here's how Republicans could use the 25th Amendment. They can use it to go after Harris. It gives us the ability, focus on that. We really don't want Biden out of it. Let's face it. Yeah, but the country, no, we don't want Biden out of it. We don't want Biden out of there till the election. We don't want it at all. Focus on Harris, though. What is Harris in the cabinet doing? Janet Yellen yesterday said, well, we haven't had any talks on this. Why would we? Keep on focusing on a bank shot to Kamala Harris. She's the vice president. She would be the leader. The 25th Amendment would apply to this. If it doesn't apply to this, what does it apply to her? By the way, I'm not a fan of the 25th Amendment. 25th Amendment is incredibly troublesome. Remember, they wanted to use it against Trump. I think there are other mechanisms there, but okay, they wanted to do it. What about Harris? What about the cabinet? Why are they not? Why is she not doing anything? Obviously, people see the difficulty with this. Do not make it about Biden. We don't want anything going now. Since I've been on, Danang Dick, the guy, the senator from Connecticut, has come out saying Biden's very troubled. George Clooney, he's got to go. And I think, yeah, the Clooney vote. I think they're up to 7 or 8 on record now saying he's got to go.
I do have Danang Dick.
Let's hear Danang Dick.
I am deeply concerned about Joe Biden winning this November.
What is wrong with the people in Connecticut, Dan, that they elect this guy? My God. Ooh, brutal.
Man of many words.
Yeah, let's go to Diana in Sewell, New Jersey on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Diana.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Good.
I have a question. How can they replace Biden so late in the game? Some states won't allow a ticket change. There's about 6 or 7 states, I believe. So how can they replace him?
Well, that's going to be a big legal battle. You're right. And I think 2 of them are swing states. I want to say Wisconsin, and I forget the other, where they're already on the mandated state ballot. Diana, in Wisconsin, the state Supreme Court is in the tank. They're incredibly progressive. They want drop boxes on every doorstep. So they would just say, well, this is an emergency. To your point, by law, it doesn't look like they could do it, but I think if you have the Supreme Court in your state, they will do it.
Okay.
I hear you, though, and it's the right instinct. We want to keep Biden on the ballot. We want to keep him to the bitter end. We're rooting for Joe here. Absolutely. This family, who shall we say, is troubled with the alleged shooter coming to Temple. Chris Fitzgerald sees him. He's all masked up. He's playing a video game. He starts firing. He hits Fitzgerald. First of all, Fitzgerald should have had another cop with him, but of course, with Temple and their nonsense, he didn't. Remember that? He wounds Officer Sergeant Fitzgerald now, and then stands over him and kills him. Now, that is completely the death penalty. Krasner doesn't have the guts, this little creep, right, to even tell the family personally. He doesn't have the decency, guts, / everything. He's not going to go for the death penalty after 17 months. He has one of his chiefs deliver that message to the family. The thing that bothers me the most with this is they're getting away with it. How is it in America that we lost the idea of the death penalty? The left is good at this. They chip away with it every second, making people believe we ought to take a look. When you take someone's life in cold blood, definition of first-degree murder in Pennsylvania, wherever it is, following that, we have to look at other factors. Did you have a pony when you're a kid? You didn't. Oh, my God. We have to look at the other person here. We have to look at some, was there torture involved? And in this case, Dan, they can't look at race. The guy that was killed is African-American. The killer is a punk from the suburbs.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Well-heeled family. Not that any of that matters. How did we get to this point that we're talking the language of the left? I don't do that. To me, it doesn't matter who you killed. It doesn't matter the way you did it. If you knew what you were doing and you killed them based upon the first-degree murder statutes, I would love to take 500 attorneys from Krasner up and down the line, debate them any place. I'll debate them in North Philly. I'll debate them anywhere they want. And Josh Shapiro and his son you can throw in. Let him go to college first, Dan. I don't want to have any advantage. We shouldn't look at the death penalty with all this Chinese menu that the left has put in. It's clear. You have no right to take a life. The only defenses are, if it is in self-defense, things of that nature, or it's accidental.
Yes. Yesterday we had the widow, Marissa, join, and I pulled some audio that you asked for, her talking about her kids, and just the deep impact that this obviously has on a family, but really bringing it to, you know, just to... What it really is that they're going through.
Christopher adored and loved his children so, so much, and each one of them had their own special relationship with them. And when you wake up every day and you don't wake up to your dad either playing with you or singing with you or joking around with you or just having the house be filled with just laughter, you know, it affects all of them in their own personal way. There are times where my youngest daughter cannot sleep. She has to sleep with me, and you know I don't like sleeping in my room. And so it's been hard. You know, my son, both of our sons are struggling. You know, they get upset often, or they go and scroll through their old messages that you know their dad used to send them, and listen to the voice messages. And they still text them to this day. I recently went through my son's phone, and he's constantly texting his dad, you know, I wish you were here. I wish you would come back, Dad. Or when we go and visit him at the cemetery, you know, he'll text him, you know, we're on our way, Dad. We're on our way to see you. And when you see something like that, I don't understand how nobody can get their heart broken and just feel, like, torn to pieces. This should have not happened, and... my family and I should not have to be going through this at all.
Well put by the widow. And again, these creeps on the other side, well, it's not going to bring anything back. See if it's your loved one. Here's what it does do. It sets a barrier. If we do it often enough, we do it properly. It is a self-defense for us against the mob that's out there, led by Larry Krasner. That's what it's about. And I don't care what the problem was with the parents. I have no feeling. I'll admit it. I'm not going to be a phony. Well, you know, I have feeling for this 18-year-old. I have nothing. It's all wrung out of me by things like the Fitzgerald family. I'm proud of it. I have nothing. No feeling for this. Absolutely. Well, as a human, I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of hearing that over the years. And I'm more tired of how clowns like Josh Shapiro can offer up, well, his son convinced him, and the rest of the world goes, oh, well, that's fine. How in the world did we let them do it? How in the world did we let them take away the death penalty? They are relentless. They're like termites eating at the system. Again and again and again and again, we go back to this. Even though technically, by polling and everything else, the death penalty, people still believe in it. And again, I throw caveats with it. I know Dan would say the same thing. If you're on trial for your life, we're going to spend the money. We spend the money on everything else, meaning we're going to get you the absolute, not just best attorneys, but what's important, investigators, so that you can get the defense. And after that, if you're convicted, you do have appeals and all that, okay. But at a certain point, and well before 20 years or something crazy, 5 years maybe, you're going to get the death penalty, and we're going to carry it out. up and down the line. That's the way that it should work. And, you know, DNA evidence cuts both ways. Krasner only sees it as always DNA evidence indicates nobody did anything. He's a hero. He brings criminals back to the neighborhood. And everybody believes nobody's guilty. It's the cops. Not only that, in here, Dan, and he'll be on today, Dr. Fitzgerald, he makes mention of the fact that Krasner's hatred, he doesn't say hatred, I'll say hatred, shall we say antagonism toward the police plays into that, toward law enforcement. It certainly does. He hates the cops. And the mob that put him in there, I'll never forget it. I don't care what the cover-up is. On the night that he was elected, they were screaming themselves, blank the police, blank the police, blank the police. You fill it in. You know exactly what they were doing. So, again, our minds are on a presidential race. But my mind broadens from Krasner to Washington, Harris particularly. We're fighting progressivism. We're fighting the damage. Sometimes it's silly. We just get annoyed with them. And here, it's deadly. Dan, what's the full statement from Krasner?
No, I have a full statement from the Fitzgerald.
Dr. Fitzgerald,
family.
Okay.
Yeah, you want
yeah,
that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Fitzgerald reinforces why Philadelphians should recall Krasner reflecting on a 2023 meeting he had. So this is within the longer statement.
Right.
Meeting he had at the district attorney's office, quote, during our first meeting with Krasner, I was floored. He actually shared why he lacks confidence in the criminal justice system that he represents. It all emanates from a negative experience while serving as a member of a jury that imposed a harsh sentence. This is but one of several reasons that he is unable to effectively perform his duties as an elected district attorney. Christopher's is the first case of a police officer being killed that his office will prosecute, and instead of rewriting an already flawed script on crime and punishment, he has allowed hubris and an intense disdain for law enforcement officers to cloud his judgment. Krasner is unable to divorce himself from years as a defense attorney and has tipped the scales of justice one way. The mayor will not say it, but he is an anchor to the city that he adopted.
Yeah, look, I understand the political situation with Sherelle Parker, Dan, and I don't have inside knowledge, but if Derek Green is not running for district attorney, he ought to be out there right now saying that and using this as a moment to say, even in Philadelphia, have you lost your mind? Progressives have. They have no problem with this. They don't want the death. How dare you? And what's the possible argument against the death penalty here? The evidence is overwhelming of what happened here. Yes, Dan.
There's more from the family, yeah. Specifically about Krasner. Quote, we have watched in shame as Krasner cherry-picks select members of marginalized communities to provide their support and continues to allow criminals to return to the streets and reoffend. We can no longer stand idly by while other elected members of the city stand mute on this topic. Despite any best-laid plans for a safer city, we question how that reality can be achieved when you feign a working partnership with someone like Krasner who subverts your goals.
Yeah, I understand the politics of it. That is beautifully put. It'll be here at 2:30 today. And again, the outcry is not that deep, not as much as it should be. It should be deafening. How have we let them win on something as elemental as the death penalty? All right, coming up, Dr. Ben Carson. Could he be the VP choice? And what does he think about President Biden's current condition? That's all straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210. Dr. Ben, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Always good to be with you.
Well, Dr. Ben, how do you see it with all these developments first around President Biden? And based upon the debate, most medical experts, they're not diagnosing. You should never do that or telling us from afar. But that there are obvious issues here. What does Dr. Ben think about it?
Well, you know, I've been talking about it for years now. It's very clear that he's experiencing some significant cognitive declines. And the real issue is, should somebody like that be at the helm of our nation? You know, what if something happens? We've been very fortunate so far because we had an open border. We have all these people coming in, some of whom are certain to be terrorists, and the grace of God has kept them from attacking so far. We're very fortunate, but we can't continue to count on good fortune. I mean, we have to use the brains that God gave us. And, you know, for the Democrats, they have to come to the understanding that our country is much more important than their political party. both sides have to always recognize that. And unfortunately, we've reached a stage where that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. It's not about Democrats and Republicans. It's about ideology. And there are those of us who want to maintain a country that is upformed by the people, and there are those who want a country that is upformed by the government. They're two very different things.
Dr. Ben, on another front, heating up on the Republican side, you're a prime candidate to be the VP choice, and our listeners think that would be outstanding. I remember when you first ran for president, we were at CPAC, hundreds of people cheering Dr. Carson coming through the hallways of that big hotel there. When you ran in 2016, you did well. Who were the typical Dr. Ben Carson voters? What were they looking for to you? What did you take away from that was your strength, a demographic or people that were going for you?
Well, obviously conservative people, people who think logically and who don't, you know, try to rely on identity politics. And people who are proud of our country. And, you know, I think those are the people that I appealed to at that time, probably will appeal to this time around as well.
Can I add one more demographic onto that, Dr. Ben? Because I see it. My wife loves you.
Yeah, exactly.
And I really think you shine with women. I don't know what it is. What is it about you that just really, really has such a deep impact with women?
Well, probably because of my story. Because, you know, it has been women who have been responsible for my success. You know, my mother was just an amazing person. And, you know, I can't say enough about my wife. We've been married for 49 years. I couldn't make it without her.
Yeah, I just saw the other day you celebrated, I think you were on a boat that I saw the picture of on Twitter, 49th anniversary. Oh, my goodness.
That's right. And then throughout my professional career, you know, I had a senior PA who started when I was chief resident and who was with me until the day that I retired. I couldn't have done it without her either. So women have been a very important part of my life.
Well, on the other side, let's talk about Vice President Harris. When you mentioned no identity politics, I guess it's happened before in U.S. history, but I can't quite see it, that you have someone who couldn't even get a vote in the primary, dropped out, yet ends up not just as a vice president, but as a vice president with an older president who was already showing signs of difficulty and maybe hoping he's reelected, she'll become president without ever getting a vote in a second term.
Well, you know, this is the kind of situation that occurs when we rely on identity politics, when we rely on, you know, DEI and things of that nature, rather than selecting people who would do a good job. And we've got to get to that point. We were well on the way to that point before a bunch of progressives started being in charge of our country, you know, starting with the Obama administration. And, you know, they have really sent us backward in terms of the great progress that we were making. And we need to seize that again. I think one of the reasons that Donald Trump is gaining so much traction, even in deep blue places like South Bronx, is because he's not into identity politics. He believes that a rising tide lifts all boats. And that's what people really want. They just want fairness, general fairness. I think the other thing is people recognize that our country is in deep trouble when we use our justice system to go after our political foes. And we've become just like a banana republic. We are a banana republic. And we probably have a relatively small amount of time to reverse course before something even worse happens.
You said something that I think is logical, factual, what you just said about a banana republic. What do you say when the Biden people, Dr. Ben, say, though, you guys on the Trump side and Trump are always running down the country? What country are you seeing? We stand with America's great. Why are even Dr. Ben Carson calling it a banana republic?
Well, because it is. That's what a banana republic does. Uses the system to go after their enemies. Does not really care about fairness. Uses power in an inappropriate manner. And you call it what it is. That's what is happening. And we have to be willing to not only identify it, but to fight strongly against it. Because once that starts, it's very, very difficult to reverse it. You look at how many countries went communist and then came back. Now, Hungary is one notable exception, but very seldom does that happen.
Yeah, I think there, because of the people actually fought the communist tanks, they were in the streets and all that, so maybe there was an underpinning. Dr. Ben, what are your plans at the convention? Are you going to be a speaker?
It appears to be that way right now. I think the final schedules are still in the process of being worked out, but looking forward to being there, to seeing everybody. There's a lot of excitement, because I think this time around, we recognize that even though there may be some irregularities in the election process, we're really paying close attention to it now. You know,
yes.
I was on the phone with a lot of people in Pennsylvania last night, you know, talking about Trump Force 47 and how people can get involved and can volunteer and can be poll watchers and need to be trained, because you have to have people trained so that when somebody comes up and says, you can observe this polling place, but you got to do it from way over there where nobody can see what's going on. No, you don't. You don't have to accept that. We need to train people on what they can and cannot do. And getting at least 100,000 volunteers across the country, we're not going to let it happen again.
So people would go to Force 47. Is that the website, Dr. Ben?
Yeah, Trump Force 47.
Trump Force 47.
There are places all over the country where you can get involved.
Are you, I'm thinking of public statements, so if you were chosen as VP, you're ready to serve, right? You're on record saying that?
Absolutely.
Well, that's good news. That's good to hear. There's a lot of support here, particularly Dan's wife, Maisie.
Yeah, Maisie just got so excited, yeah. I can tell you right now.
Well, let's just pray that we make all good decisions, not only VP, but the people who are around the president are vitally important. And in the first administration, there were some problems. And we really want to make sure that we get the right people.
Exactly. Dr. Ben, good luck. We'll be watching you at the convention. Thank you for joining us today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Dr. Ben Carson. Dan, I think one time, I didn't want to do it today because he's here on another mission, but I just open it up and just try to get inside. How in the world did he do that surgery?
The one with the separating
yeah,
brains?
That's yeah, that's just an example. I mean, it's unbelievable
yeah,
skill,
like
et cetera.
Nuts.
But you know, if you don't want to believe in God, you don't want to believe in that sort of thing. I don't know. I just don't see that it's divinely inspired in addition to his own skill. And he's so self-effacing. The worst time that I had him on is when these clowns in Detroit took his name off the medical school. It's like a charter medical school stuff for kids in Detroit that are at the high school level, and they took his name off, I think because of supporting Trump or something like that. My God, this guy is a phenom. It is a remarkable type of thing. Do I think he's going to be the VP choice, though? No. Dan, you're still in the camp? You think he is?
I think he could be.
Okay.
I think he... He's probably my front runner because
yeah.
I think he wins out of everyone out there. He doesn't like playing identity politics, and I think that's
right.
Fair. But I think it's a reality of politics. Is there's a portion of that, and I think he wins the most demographics. He checks off the most boxes.
Make your case with me, though. I'm drawing down to a finer point. Let's face it. I know listeners don't like to hear it, but it's the truth. Trump has broken through. We got great stuff going with groups that other Republicans can't get.
Mm-hmm.
It's the suburbanites.
Mm-hmm.
It's women in the suburbs. So you would go to the Maisie file and say, while Dr. Ben can certainly do well there.
I think what Dr. Ben presents is, I used to love, when I lived in Indianapolis, I would go to the Colts games a lot, and at the time the coach was Tony Dungy. And he has a book called Quiet Strength, and it goes into detail about the power that comes with, you know, just dignity, quiet dignity. You think of a lot of characters, movie characters, and that just have that power, but they don't have to yell. They're just so respected that, you know, in a quiet voice, everybody shuts up and listens. I think Ben can really turn into that person pretty easily in a debate forum. And when you have Trump, who's the loud, aggressive type, it's like fire and ice. You bring in Ben Carson, who's the more quiet. Mm-hmm. You put him on the Sunday morning shows, and he's perfect fit for that, you know?
I like the aggressive, so I admit my bias on there. I wouldn't mind too aggressive.
I don't think you need too aggressive, though.
All right. Listeners won't be honest, Dan. They're going to agree with you on this. Because it's a nicer forum, and it might be more effective. Maybe that's what suburbanites want. Two aggressive people, that's it, we're out.
I mean, I think it's been a while since we played that Donald Trump Jr. cut. He has
Here's what he said, Trump Jr.
We're talking the VP stakes. What are you guys thinking right now? You know, everyone knows I've sort of been for J.D. Vance, whether it's Marco Rubio or Doug Burgum seem to be some of the biggest contenders. I know a lot of you guys, and including myself, would Ben Carson be great in that role? And I think he'd be perfect in that role at any other time in history other than perhaps right now. And the only reason I say that is I think he's literally too nice to deal with the sociopaths that we'd be dealing with, whether it's the media or otherwise. And we need to be able to play on that front. And I, unfortunately, that's not the easiest thing for anything.
All right, Dan, I'll tell you what I think. The quiet dignity is good, but I want an occasional fastball too. I want somebody who appears to be above the fray, but then at the right moment is a killer. That's my ideal candidate.
You think Dr. Ben can employ sarcasm?
A little bit doubtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the way. Because I don't know if he can be that aggressive, in-your-face kind of type and flip the switch as you're suggesting. But I think he could turn people into jokes with his intelligence if he used sarcasm and other types of humor that way.
I'm picturing him in a debate with Kamala Harris. You know, just the epitome of the American success story. And then Kamala Harris of the knockoff fake American dream. The DEI candidate versus a guy who actually did it.
For example, though, if you're in a debate and, Ben's not going to yell at Kamala, but if Kamala says something stupid, I think Ben is appropriate person to mock it. And I think it would have a very deep impact if he were to mock something.
I hear you. I would wish for that, but I don't see mockery in him. I mean, he's a better man for that, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, I want the mockery. Not constant. Not coming out of your chair, but at the right moment. Kind of like me with Joe Sestak, Cheney. That's the type of thing I want.
How important is integrity? Because Mike on youtube.com/@12WPHG says, I would trust Dr. Carson's integrity over and above any other possible VP candidate.
To me, it is, and I know to you, but in the real, pitch and battle back and forth, is that it? I don't think so. I mean, he's impeccable. He's beyond belief. Do you offer that up as a template that this is really what the American dream is? All right, jump in. Tell me, particularly women out in the suburbs or otherwise, you think Ben Carson, pretty hard to dismiss him, but Clarence Thomas, Ben Carson, constantly dismissed. That's the media game. 855-839-1210, you get on board. I don't think Don Trump Jr. was being mean or just dismissive there. But I think that's what that's what we've come to. That's what the downside of this is. 855-839-1210, that's how you get in. If you've never called before, Ben Carson. Is he on paper just miraculous? But in reality, if he were the VP, does that do anything? What does it do? Who does it appeal to? How does it help? The only other thing with Dr. Ben, I haven't seen recently, Dan, it is the abortion issue. If I'm Trump And again, a lot of people, I have to give a lot of credit, Dan. I know the talk radio listeners are deeply pro-life in the best sense of that. But they, when they hear these candidates that have this history, no exceptions around abortion, things of that nature, the national abortion ban is even worse because it's not consistent with being a conservative. It's not.
He called for that in a recent.
Yeah. So I think Trump is hopefully knowledgeable on this. The last thing we want them to be able to do, the last thing, is to run out the clock talking about abortion. They're going to try to do it. But we don't want to, and Trump has masterfully put himself into a position. Well, here's Kamala Harris yesterday, Dan, telling us whatever Trump says, she doesn't care. This is cut 10.
So make no mistake, if Trump gets the chance, he will sign a national abortion ban to outlaw abortion in every single state.
All right, here's the thing. Trump has beaten him on this. They're still going to try it. What else do they have? What else can you do? You keep on saying, well, why do they keep trying it? Because around the edges, they think they might work. They might land it in some angle here. But Trump is almost impossible on this stuff. Early on, Iowa, he put this out of play, at least against him. So you don't want to bring a VP in. Now, the VP, I know what they can say. They can say, oh, well, I follow the president and his policy. Don't think you're going to get away with it, though. The media and Democrats, they will harp on this. They have nothing else. If we can take the oxygen away from this, that is a big step to beating it. And that's really all that matters here. The only thing I'm looking at is the final score on election night. Well, God knows when election night ends, right? And a way to do that, the Secretary of Offense, that Scott Presler is out there. The Secretary of Defense in Pennsylvania, Linda Kearns, is there, voter integrity. And with those two coordinators, we're going to do better than the Eagles this year. All right, phone lines, 855-839-1210. Dr. Joel at 2:30. We've got a real good one going on. Bryce Harper comes back last night, Paul George. People that have two first names, famous people, that's what we're looking for. Maybe historic, maybe real, fictional. It doesn't matter.
Hit
us with
YouTube.com/@12WPHD. Go like and subscribe. How about Dr. Ben Carson?
That's right. Carson and Ben. Yeah. Works very well.
The former Eagles quarterback.
Yeah. And you said Harper. Harper's one of those names could be male or female, right?
Yeah. Bryce, too.
Yeah.
Bryce and Harper.
Yeah. Or who is it that calls us all the time?
Didn't ask for this.
Not a male.
Alan.
Alan. Not a male.
Alan with a Y.
Alan with a Y. Yeah. All right. So it's all in the house here.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210. WPHD.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
There's a portion of that, and I think he wins the most demographics. He checks off the most boxes.
Make your case with me, though. I'm drawing down to a finer point. Let's face it. I know listeners don't like to hear it, but it's the truth. Trump has broken through. We got great stuff going with groups that other Republicans can't get.
Mm-hmm.
It's the suburbanites. Mm-hmm. It's women in the suburbs. So you would go to the Maisie file and say, well, Dr. Ben can certainly do well there.
I think what Dr. Ben presents is, I used to love, when I lived in Indianapolis, I would go to the Colts games a lot. And at the time, the coach was Tony Dungy.
Mm-hmm.
He has a book called Quiet Strength. And it goes into detail about the power that comes with, you know, just dignity, quiet dignity. You think of a lot of characters, movie characters, and that just have that power, but they don't have to yell. They're just so respected that, you know, in a quiet voice, everybody shuts up and listens. I think Ben can really turn into that person pretty easily in a, debate forum. And when you have Trump, who's the loud, aggressive type,
mm-hmm.
it's like fire and ice. You bring in Ben Carson, who's the more quiet. You put him on the Sunday morning shows, and he's perfect fit for that, you know?
I like the aggressive, so I admit my bias on there. I wouldn't mind too aggressive.
I don't think
there.
You need too aggressive, though.
All right. Listeners won't be honest, Dan. They're going to agree with you on this because it's a nicer form, and it might be more effective. Maybe that's what suburbanites want. Two aggressive people, that's it, we're out.
I mean, I think it's been a while since we played that Donald Trump Jr. cut. He has
Let's hear him. Yeah, here's what he said, Trump Jr.
We're talking the VP stakes. What are you guys thinking right now? You know, everyone knows I've sort of been for J.D. Vance, you know, but, you know, whether it's Marco Rubio or Doug Burgum seem to be some of the biggest contenders. I know a lot of you guys, and including myself, you know, see, would Ben Carson be great in that role? And I think he'd be perfect in that role at any other time in history other than perhaps right now. And the only reason I say that is I think he's literally too nice to deal with the sociopaths that we'd be dealing with, whether it's the media or otherwise. And we need to be able to play on that front. And I, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's not the easiest thing for anything.
All right, Dan, I'll tell you what I think. The quiet dignity is good, but I want an occasional fastball, too. I want somebody who appears to be above the fray, but then at the right moment is a killer. That's my ideal candidate.
You think Dr. Ben can employ sarcasm?
A little bit doubtful.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I think that's the way, because I don't know if he can be that aggressive, in-your-face kind of type and flip the switch as you're suggesting, but I think he could turn people into jokes with his intelligence if he used sarcasm and other types of humor that way.
I'm picturing him in a debate with Kamala Harris, you know, just the epitome of the American success story, and then Kamala Harris of the knockoff fake American dream. The DEI candidate versus a guy who actually did it.
For example, though, if you're in a debate and, you know, Ben's not going to yell at Kamala, but if Kamala says something stupid, I think Ben is appropriate person to mock it. And I think it would have a very deep impact if he were to mock something.
I hear you. I would wish for that, but I don't see mockery in him. I mean, he's a better man for that, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I want the mockery, not constant, not coming out of your chair, but at the right moment. Kind of like me with Joe Sestak, Cheney. That's the type of thing I want.
How important is integrity? Because Mike on youtube.com/@12WPHD says, I would trust Dr. Carson's integrity over and above any other possible VP candidate.
To me, it is, and I know to you. But in the real, you know, pitch and battle back and forth, is that it? I don't think so. I mean, he's impeccable. He's beyond belief. Do you offer that up as a template that this is really what the American dream is? All right, jump in. Tell me, particularly women out in the suburbs or otherwise, you think Ben Carson, pretty hard to dismiss him, but Clarence Thomas, Ben Carson, constantly dismissed. You know, that's the media game. 855-839-1210, you get on board. I don't think Don Trump Jr. was being mean or just dismissive there. But I think that's what that's what we've come to. That's what the downside of this is. 855-839-1210, that's how you get in. If you've never called before, Ben Carson, is he on paper just miraculous? But in reality, if he were the VP, does that do anything? What does it do? Who does it appeal to? How does it help? The only other thing with Dr. Ben, I haven't seen recently, Dan, it is the abortion issue. If I'm Trump, and again, a lot of people, I have to give a lot of credit, Dan. I know the talk radio listeners are deeply pro-life, in the best sense of that. But when they hear these candidates that have this history, no exceptions around abortion, things of that nature. The national abortion ban is even worse because it's not consistent with being a conservative. It's not.
He called for that in a recent.
Yeah. So I think Trump is hopefully knowledgeable on this. The last thing we want them to be able to do, the last thing, is to run out the clock talking about abortion. They're going to try to do it. But we don't want it. And Trump has masterfully put himself into a position. Well, here's Kamala Harris yesterday, Dan, telling us whatever Trump says, she doesn't care. This is cut 10.
So make no mistake, if Trump gets the chance, he will sign a national abortion ban to outlaw abortion in every single state.
All right, here's the thing. Trump has beaten him on this. They're still going to try it. What else do they have? What else can you do? You keep on saying, well, why do they keep trying it? Because around the edges, they think they might work. They might land it in some angle here. But Trump is almost impossible on this stuff. Early on, Iowa, he put this out of play, at least against him. So you don't want to bring a VP in. Now, the VP, I know what they can say. They can say, oh, well, I follow the president and his policy. Don't think you're going to get away with it, though. The media and Democrats, they will harp on this. They have nothing else. If we can take the oxygen away from this, that is a big step to beating it. And that's really all that matters here. The only thing I'm looking at is the final score on election night. Well, God knows when election night ends, right? And a way to do that, the Secretary of Offense, that's Scott Presler, is out there. The Secretary of Defense in Pennsylvania, Linda Kearns, is there, voter integrity. And with those two coordinators, we're going to do better than the Eagles this year. All right, phone lines, 855-839-1210. Dr. Joel at 2:30. We've got a real good one going on. Bryce Harper comes back last night. Paul George. People that have two first names. Famous people. That's what we're looking for. Maybe historic, maybe real, fictional. It doesn't matter.
Hit us with YouTube.com/@12WPHG. Go like and subscribe. How about Dr. Ben Carson?
That's right. Carson and Ben. Yeah.
Yeah,
works very well.
The former Eagles quarterback.
Yeah, and you said Harper. Harper's one of those names that could be male or female, right?
Yeah. Bryce, too.
Bryce, too.
Yeah, Bryce and Harper.
Yeah. Or who is it that calls us all the time?
I didn't ask for this.
Not a male.
Alan.
Alan, not a male.
Alan with a Y.
Alan with a Y. Yeah. All right, so it's all in the house here.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.